After dampening the whetstone, Ash pulled the blade along its rough edge, starting with the tip. This was his first time sharpening the sword, and he worked slowly to avoid mistakes, like slicing open his own hand. Borsbane. He loved the sound of the name he'd chosen for his sword. It was fitting, because the two creatures he'd slain so far had been those with the heads of boars and bodies of men. He had killed the second one with the boar man's own dagger, not the sword, but he saw no point in quibbling over details. After all, a good name could transform his weapon from a tool into a legend. He had no remorse about killing Scarface, who had taken his brother's life, but he deeply regretted sparing Ratcher. In ordering Lance's murder, she had proven herself more beastly than any boar man. He would never understand what had moved him to show her mercy. Because of his foolishness, the conjurer's apprentice had escaped. That Ratcher would return to plague them all was as certain as darkness falling at the end of each day. He reached for a sack deep enough to conceal Borsbane. Although Lady Tessa, as everyone called her these days, had already changed the law to allow the common folk to use and own weaponry, the sight of a sword still unsettled some. Best not to draw attention to himself, he thought. Along with the sword and a few items of clothing, he considered packing the two special gifts his mother had given him after receiving a small inheritance. The first was a prized volume of epic poetry by Dayim Haru. The other, an iron miniature of a knight on horseback carrying a lance, representing Ash's twin, who had wished more than anything to grow up to be a knight. He stared at both for several moments before putting them away in a drawer. Now was not the time for sentimentality. Whatever adventure lay in store for him, he must not be saddled with the tokens of his previous life. A similar feeling had prompted him to cut his hair several weeks earlier. The ponytail had been Lance's style, not his.
"There's a man to see you."
The voice of his father came from the doorway behind him. Ash turned and thrust aside the sack. The sight of it brought sorrow into his father's eyes, though he said nothing. He and Ash's mother had already pleaded with him to abandon his journey, but at last they'd given up, seeing his determination and not wishing to separate on unhappy terms. Still, he could tell from the stoop in his father's shoulders and the quiet way his mother spoke to him, they had no hope of ever seeing him again.
"Who is it?" Ash said. "A short man with an eye patch. Kralla?"
"Calder."
Ash moved past his father to the door and went outside.
Why is Calder here?
He hadn't told him of his plans, but perhaps his former companion had gotten wind of them from Mr. Tinley the Potter, in whose cart he planned to ride tomorrow. No doubt Calder also wished to dissuade him from leaving. His bag resting at his feet, Calder stood in the adjoining graveyard near the Dodsworth family stone. His eyes scanned the tribute inscribed there as Ash tromped down the front steps toward him. He thought it best to make things clear to Calder immediately.
"I appreciate your coming, but I've made up my mind."
Calder looked confused.
"Made up your mind to what?"
It was Ash's turn to be puzzled.
"I'm going away tomorrow. Thought that was why you came. Where are you heading?"
"Blackgrove."
Ash lowered his voice.
"Heard they're gathering forces to defend against Lord Slayert. Going to offer my services as a swordsman."
"Blackgrove," Calder repeated.
"I've been there, trust me. There's no organised resistance. There's no organised anything. The Conjurer Lord Quesher is not as wicked as Fellstone, but it's only because he's an idiot. I have to start somewhere."
Calder kept a steady gaze on the boy.
"Tessa needs our help."
Ash scowled.
"She hasn't spoken to me in months, and she's marrying Lord Somebody. Lord Turf. We cannot allow the wedding to take place. She's made her choice."
"No."
Calder looked around as if nervous of prying ears.
"I saw her at the castle. She looked as if she was in a trance. Some terrible magic has her under its control. I don't know who's behind it. Perhaps this Lord Turf."
Ash paused. Could it be true? He wanted to believe it, and yet, well, it was not his business what she did with her life. She was so far above him, with her bloodline and her castle and all the riches in the land.